Good evening, Claire. We're going to begin our lesson tonight on authority, the controversy of the universe. If you've been keeping up with the classes, which I hope you have been, we've been talking about authority. First of all, we talk about how it was originated with Satan. And now we're going to talk about how Satan is involved with the conflict that's going on in the world today concerning authority. And the controversy of the universe is centered on who shall have the authority. And our conflict with Satan is the direct result of our attributing authority to God. Now, Claire, what does that mean? That means in this world right now, there's a war going on. Paul calls it the war between the spirit and the flesh. But also, the war is going on because Satan wants to control this world system, and he wants the authority. And once we accepted Christ, we no longer give him the authority, but we attribute our authority to God, which is who he is in direct conflict with. Maybe I can say that another way. The conflict is between Satan and God. More, Satan tried to infuse the minds of this world system that he is the God of this world, which the Bible do call him the God of this world, but he doesn't have the authority over this system. God is God over the heaven and the earth and under the earth. He has all authority. Satan tried to govern this world system because of what Adam sold out the rights way back in the garden. And we're dealing with what happened with Adam. Now, Jesus, we know Jesus took dominion, took authority, and put every man back in dominion and put God in control of our world system. When I say our world system, I'm talking about Christianity. Christianity is not governed by Satan's system anymore. Colossians said, we came from the power of darkness and over into the power of light. We're under the kingdom of light and not darkness, so we're not under Satan's dominion anymore. The church is. But the world and the world system of government is still under that dominion. And I'm going to read the statement again. The controversy of the universe is centered on who shall have the authority, and our conflict with Satan. Our conflict, Satan, the Christian world, our conflict. We've been Christian, and he is trying to have dominion and tell us that we don't control anything, but we know in our hearts that God has given us all authority through Jesus. And the conflict with Satan is a direct result of our attributing authority to God. Now, to better understand that, I need you to go to a scripture with me, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter 5 and 8, because I got to explain this, so you're not going to understand completely. I want to be satisfied, Claire, that you understand completely what what this book is trying to tell us concerning authority in this earth realm. When we got born again, something happened. And you need to know what happened. Well, let's read 1 Peter 5 and 8 first. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, if you got it, I want you to look at it in your Bible. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Here it is. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. See, Peter called him an adversary. So when did he become an adversary? The moment you became born again, the moment you gave Jesus your life, and the moment he became Lord of your life, Satan became an adversary because he no longer has authority over you, and now he's trying to take the authority that you have from you, trying to persuade you that he is the authority, that he can make you sick, he can keep you broke, he can create havoc in your home, he can cause family problems. You name all the challenges that Christians have, it's Satan trying to gain authority and ascendancy over your life. But it's not so. And that's what I come to tell you. It's not so. So be sober. You tell me how to handle this thing. Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now you're talking to the church, to the Christian. The reason why he got to walk about seeking who he may devour, because he can only devour those that are ignorant of what Jesus Christ has done in our life and how we've been removed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're not into that authority of Satan anymore. He's the God of this world, but he's not our God. You see it? He's a God of this world system, and he wants to challenge his authority against God. You ever notice everything God does or God is doing, Satan tries to duplicate it to deceive people? His only power, his only authority is in deception, the power of deception. He really has no power because Satan has defeated him. Jesus had defeated him. Jesus has stripped him of all his powers that he has against the church. And so he wanted to deceive you that he still have that power and that authority, but it's not so. Everybody says it's not so. That's right. It's not so. So, 1 Peter let us know that he is an adversary, and he can only devour those that don't know the authority of Christ. All right? Now, we must be subject to God's authority. This authority that God give us, the way we walk in dominion, the way we walk in power, the way we walk in the authority that God's given us, and the authority on the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be subject to God's authority with all of our heart. Now listen to this statement. It is absolutely necessary for us to meet God's authority and to possess a basic knowledge of what it is. And so we have Christians. Yes, they're born again, but they have no basic knowledge of authority of God at all in this earth realm. They can't function properly, and they're open for deception. All right? All right. Now, this point here is going to take us on a little spiritual trip here, because we're going to see something happen to this man here, Apostle Paul, that transformed his life from his knowledge of authority to God's knowledge of authority. Paul had a knowledge of authority because Paul was a very studious person in the religious sect. As the Bible talks about the qualification, he was a Pharisee, he was a Roman, and he grew up under all the best teachers of the law, under the law, and so he was knowledgeable and even of authority, but not the authority of Christ. You see, he had authority of the religious world system, because we're going to find out, he went and got letters from the Sanhedrin Council and all the religious leaders to go and find all the Christians and either imprison them or have them stoned or have them arrested for something to keep them from widening or enlarging the kingdom of God. He wanted to stop Christianity. He wants to stop this so-called Christ that's supposed to be risen from the dead. He wants to stop the authority of God bringing himself into the earth realm. And that was Satan using religion. Oh, listen at me now. That was Satan using religion to deny the power of God. He was using Apostle Paul to stop the church ignorantly. Paul ignorantly tried to stop the church, and he testified and he confessed of it in his letters. That was to come after this, after his relationship with Christ became established, and after the relationship with Christ began to mature, and he became a true man of God, walking under the statutes and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, we're going to go there, but the statement I want to make is before Paul knew authority, he tried to wipe out the church. But after he had met the Lord on the Damascus Road, he saw that it was hard for the feet or human power to kick against the goal, which was God's authority. See, that needs explaining. Back in the day, the goals were pointed rods and objects. They had a point on them, and they used to prod the oxen to make them go where they want to go, to give them orders. Some of the oxen were stubborn, and they had to poke them with the pointed rod, and they would kick at it. But every time they went to kick at the goal, they would kick themselves onto the sharp edge, and it will hurt themselves. So the point of being here, he said, the Lord told him on Damascus Road that was hard for the feet to kick against the goal. Paul knew exactly what he was talking about, what God was talking about. See, it's a little blind for us because we don't have knowledge of a whole lot of Bible history of the culture and how they operated. They didn't have tractors and plows like we have here today. No, they had ox and pulling plows and carts, and that's what they tool to work the land and the soil. He immediately fell to the ground. That's when he had experience in the 9th chapter of Acts, and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. After that, he was able to submit to the direction given him by Ananias in the city of Damascus. Well, let's just go to the book of Acts. Turn your Bible to the 9th chapter of Acts so we can see for ourselves this experience that Apostle Paul had. And Paul preached this. God having preached and testified of this experience he had, his born-again experience. He was able to share it as a witnessing tool to tell men and women that Jesus was Lord and how he had a vision of him on the road and how let the Bible explain itself. Over in the 9th chapter of Acts, let's see where I want to begin. I want to begin at verse 1. Now, we got to get some history of Apostle Paul. I don't know how far I'm going to get in this lesson today, but I want you to listen closely so we can understand exactly what's happening here. And Saul, the scripture says, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, hear that word against. Remember I told you in the class, first class, that rebellious words, when you start reading the Bible, you need to start defining them and recognizing it. Because when I first started teaching this lesson, I dealt with a whole lot of Old Testament instances of rebellion. But I began to think, I said, I don't see a whole lot of New Testament era of rebellion. Well, God didn't do things in the New Testament as miraculous as he did in the Old Testament. The ground didn't cleave open, fire didn't fall from heaven, and a lot of other miraculous things that God did to show his authority and with Moses and the children of God. But you got to watch the words here in the New Testament. And here one of the words is against. I told you, class, I said, whenever you see the word against, that's a rebellious word, and it's coming against God's authority. All right? So Paul was breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciple of the Lord. That's rebellion in his rarest form, in his fullest form, against the Lord or against the church. He went unto the high priest. Now, he did have knowledge of authority, no, I tell you. But he didn't have knowledge of God's authority. You see it? And so he's going to have to learn a new authority now. So he did understand because he went to the high priest to get letters of authority. And desire of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he found any of this way, any Christian you're talking about. They call Christian the way, or this way. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. See, that was supernatural. this doesn't happen every day. Apostle Paul needs a supernatural experience to get his attention, because God wanted to do a work, but God wanted to do a quick work in Apostle Paul. Sometimes God used different avenues. You see, it took Moses stayed behind the backside of the mountain for 40 years. God used a long time to develop Moses. And Moses came out, I think it was around the age of 80, when he came out from behind the mountain. God called him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Apostle Paul, God seemed to do a quick work with him, because here they're persecuting the church, and now God got to rise somebody up to not only prevent this from happening, but someone to take the gospel further than it's been going. The 12 disciples were only ministering to the Jews, but God said, I got another body of people I need to bring into the family. There's another body of people I need to graft into the family with the Gentiles. That's us. Everybody say that's us. So God had to get us in the kingdom. God had to get you and me into the kingdom of God. So he called the Apostle Paul to do, I call it a quick work. Now let's read what happened. This light shone from heaven, and the fourth verse there, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Now, Paul had no idea he was persecuting Jesus. First of all, he didn't know who this was. He heard a voice, a supernatural voice. Now you got to find out who this is. And he said, who art thou, Lord? But he knew it was something spectacular and something supernatural. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. And here's the word that I quoted earlier from the book. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, or authority. He said, you kick against the prick, you're going to harm yourself and hurt yourself, and you might even die. See, kick against the prick, man, kick against his authority. Anybody come against God's authority, they're going to get hurt or they're going to die. Yeah, God will not permit anyone to kick against his authority. Whether it be direct authority or whether it be delegated authority, God's going to deal with them with his authority. Authority is a dangerous thing, but it's a lovely thing at the same time. Authority obeyed is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's for protection. Yes, it's for protection. It's for blessing. Yes, it's for blessing. It's for the body of Christ to advance and to bring them to a place that they've never been before. That's what authority does. All right? So here the Apostle Paul, the Lord don't want him to kick against the priest. He said, you're going to hurt yourself. And he, what? Trembling and astonished, and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, that brings me to this man Ananias here. Let's go back to the book for a second. Paul had to go through another avenue. Notice, I'm just going to take my time. Notice that God didn't, or Jesus didn't, give Apostle Paul all the instruction himself. God didn't tell him what to do, because he asked the Lord. I'm going to read it again. What wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? And a lot of us asking God the same question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And sometimes we want to get it directly from God. But God might not, Jesus, help me. God might not give you your assignment directly from heaven. No, God going to pass it through the hands of men. But no, we don't want it through the hands of men. No, we want to directly hear from God. No, we don't want nobody having authority over us. No, we want to be able to put our pants on just like him, one leg at a time. Nope, God don't work like that. God always puts you under someone that you might learn authority. God always puts you under someone to submit to, someone to answer to. So he can have authority over you through a man. God did it from the beginning, and God never changes his mode of operation. He's the same yesterday, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he had to humble. You hear that word? Humility. Humility is the way to promotion. Most people are not promoted today or advanced like the thing that should be advanced because they don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to have to go through a man. They don't want to sit long enough to sit, look, listen, and learn and see what God is doing through a man. They don't want to submit themselves to a good pastor, an apostle, a spiritual leader that had been where they're trying to go. No, they want self-help. They want self-help. I can get it myself. I'm smart. I can read. I can write. I can pray. I can even pray in tongues, and I can do it for myself. No, God said, that's not the route you're going to go. It might be the route you want to go, but that's not the route I'm going to let you go, because you can get prideful, and you're going to think you become self-made, and you won't listen to nobody, anybody, however you want to say it. Now, listen at this now. Listen at this. Listen at this. Paul had met God's authority. At that moment, he was saved. At the moment he was saved, he knew God's authority as well as God's salvation. Now, I need to stop here. I make these stops, but if I stop too much, I'm not going to get too far, right? But he knew God's authority as well as he knew salvation, his salvation. Some people know their salvation or God as their salvation, but they never met authority and know God as their authority. Well, see, something happened the moment you got saved. You can know God's salvation without knowing his authority. And the church world is full of Christians that know God's salvation, but don't know his authority. This class, not particularly me teaching it, but this lesson on authority needs to be learned by the world, the Christian world. Or you won't have a lot of havoc. Won't have a lot of confusion in some of the churches. You see, how would I say this, Lord? You see, the church of God can't move like it should move because, you ever heard those statements? Too many chiefs and no Indian. Everybody thinks they know. The world right now is full of knowledge, and everybody thinks they know. Even in home, children think they know better than their parents. Even in the churches, the membership think they know better than the spiritual leader, the pastors, or those in authority. Even on the job, the workers think they know better than those in charge of them, the supervisor. Nobody want to listen to instruction. Nobody want to take orders. Everybody want to be equal. Equal Stephen. This is the season of knowledge. Everybody got knowledge. You go on the internet, you can find out anything. My wife had, we were trying, just today, my wife, I was a battery in our remote, on the car remote. It don't lock the car anymore. The battery's dead. And my wife went on YouTube, and she typed in how to change the battery in the remote. 5 minutes, she had the battery changed in the remote, and the remote working. See, knowledge is so easy to attain now, so everybody think they know. But that's a very important thing that's missing, though. Knowledge without experience and wisdom is a dangerous tool. And that's what's happening to the church world today. They got a lot of knowledge with no experience and no wisdom. But that's what our apostle is trying to put into the hearts of ministers and men and women that want to go further with God. He's trying to not only put revealed knowledge, but he put an aspect of experience of all his years of ministry and the wisdom, the supernatural wisdom that God has given him to add unto ministry and anointing and daily life. He's talking about faith wisdom, health wisdom. And these different things come through experience. And he can teach through experience. But Apostle Paul had to gain something through another man. He had to sit on another man. Even for the few moments, he had to sit on another man. But the revelation that God, Jesus wanted to give him couldn't come to another man. So God had to separate Apostle Paul specifically. He separated him, and Paul separated himself, and he was directly taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had to meet authority first. So he knew how to submit and not be proud and not be arrogant and not think himself more than he ought to. But that's why God, apostle been teaching in 1 Corinthians 2, in my speech, in my preaching, was not with enticing word of man wisdom. That's Paul teaching from humility. But you're talking about fear and trembling. You see it? The same fear and trembling in this ninth chapter, Paul never lost the fear and trembling. The fear and trembling man on the Damascus Road followed him throughout his whole ministry. In fear and trembling, Paul ministered the word, acknowledging that I'm weak. When I'm weak, then am I strong. He had to go through Ananias to learn this. Yeah, he learned it through Ananias. What did he learn from Ananias? That he had to submit to a man first before he submit to God. Yeah, we don't want to go through that route. We want a quick route. We want to take a shortcut. We want to get it for ourselves. But that's not the way it's always to be. And the spirit of obedience, listen at this. Listen at this close. The spirit of obedience is a part of our salvation. What do you mean, part of our salvation? What happened is, when we got born again, Jesus came into our heart, right? Jesus carried the spirit of obedience. Philippians 2 talked about it. God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Why did God do that? Because Jesus obeyed God fully. Jesus is the captain of obedience. Jesus is the author of obedience. And so Jesus' spirit came into us at the day of salvation. The moment I got born again, you got born again, you received the spirit of obedience. You have the ability in you to obey. God knows that. Jesus knows that. The Holy Ghost knows that. You need to know that. That you have the ability to obey. But the enemy also knows that. Satan knows that. So he tried to cause you to obey another God, rather than obey the Holy Spirit and obey the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, which is all the same person. So the spirit of obedience is a part of our salvation. We got it. We don't have to ask the Lord, make me obedient. Make me obedient, Lord. Lord, give me obedience. No, you already got it. You got it when you got born again. So, but you have to be activated. Now, what activates obedience? Willingness. Willingness. All you got to do is will to be obeyed. Will. Isaiah said, if you're willing and obedient. See, you're not talking about two different things. You're talking about willing obedience. You see it? Because you can be obedient, not willingly. That's not real obedience then. So the kind of obedience we're talking about is willing obedience. Lord, my heart go with my obedience. You see it? Lord, I'm not disobeying because the word said it. But I'm doing it because I want to obey, Lord. I want to obey. I'm not doing this because my pastor told me to do it. I'm doing it because he told me to do it, and I'm willing to do it. Now, we're going to talk about, that's run close with rebellion, you see. See, because you could be obedience in action. Oh, this coming down the road, class. You could be obedience in action, and you could be rebellious at heart. What does that mean? It looks good. It looks good. Your action can show, Ronald, take this. My apostle can say, Ronald, take this and bring this to my car. Or whatever. My office. And I can take this. Yes, sir, apostle. And I can take it to his office. But I can also have a problem, a heart issue. Why I got to be taking this to his office? He right there. His office right there. Why he don't take the doggone thing to his office himself? It don't make no sense. He using me. No? See, it looks good. Yes, sir. That's silent. See, my action is silent. But my heart speaks louder than my action sometimes. God said, you did it, but your heart wasn't in it. Now that goes on so much. We call that unseen things, unseen reaction. Unseen. See, a lot of us are obedient. Yeah, we're obedient. But it's not submission. You see it? Because you're not doing it from a submitted heart. We're going to learn this down the road. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm letting you know that the church world as a whole have never learned authority. That's why so much chaos in some of the church. But Jesus, we're going to have to get to this place so Jesus can hurry his return. When the church got getting obedience, I'm going to talk about the Slack app somewhere down the road. Apostle Institute, the Slack app. And this is an end time revelation just as much as money coming is an end time revelation, just as much as help coming to the body of Christ is an end time. Whatever, I mean, God is doing something. And what I'm saying is it can only be followed through obedience. It's okay to get on the Slack app, but if you don't get nobody to stay, what good that going to do? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, the accolades are good, but you ain't winning no souls. Well, all I'm saying is we need to check our heart out. We don't want to just look good. We want to be obedient. We don't want to just look good to an apostle and let him see glory. No, we want to go beyond that. We want to go beyond just typing in glory. We want to need to get out there and tell the story. That Jesus saved. Jesus died for your sin. You must be born again out of the spirit of love. I didn't mean to go over that, but it's good anyway. It's good anyway. Now, so the spirit of obedience came with salvation. Philippians 2:13. Christ is the power of God and the author of divine submission. Philippians 2:13. I'm going to read it. Put it in your notes. You can read it later, but it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What does that mean? God is in me to cause me to be willing, both to will. God will for me to do his good pleasure. And there's that desire on the inside of me to just obey God, to just to do. You know on the inside of you. You know on the inside that you're ever willing to do, but as that adversary again, don't want you to do. See, we're not fighting and warring against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. See, there's an enemy. Don't want you to do the will of God. You see, in our next lesson, we'll be talking about authority and the will to obey. You see it? You can have this authority, but we almost need to have this will to obey. And that's what the body of Christ needs, the will to obey. Because you got it in you. You got it in you. You got to submit to the will of God. Now, let's get into a little bit of this before the class. I'm about to take up this in the next class because I can't finish this statement, authority to controvert the universe, in one setting. So we're going to continue this in the next lesson class. But listen to this. How could Paul... See, Paul had to go to Ananias. Say this with me. I have to go to an Ananias. You see it? You always got to go to an Ananias. You might not want to go to an Ananias, but you're going to have to if you're going to follow God's plan. How could Paul, some people don't want to submit to nobody, but you got to go to an Ananias. Who's your Ananias? Ask yourself that. Your pastor. Most likely is your Ananias. Your spiritual leader. Most likely your Ananias. How could Paul, being a clever and capable person, Paul was smart, I told you, listen to the words of Ananias, an unknown little brother, mentioned only once in the Bible. Adonai had no spirit, no significance. It didn't stand out in the Bible. One time, the scripture say he mentioned, but yet Paul, nobody knew. Nobody would have knew Adonai if Paul hadn't went to him, because it wouldn't have been recorded in the Bible. You see it? But he was a brother that God chose for Paul to go to. But that's the way he met the authority of God. Had he not encountered authority on the road to Damascus, he could never have been subject to that obscure little brother in the city. See, some people never met authority. Some people just, I don't know how to say that. They just think they evolved, or they just try to skip the process. You can't bypass God's process and be what God wants you to be. What am I saying? Sometimes you got to go to a place of authority, but you can be. See, Paul got rebuked on that Damascus road. It is hard. See, you read scripture, but you don't see the whole context. It's hard for thee, Jesus said, to kick against the pricks. You kick against me, Paul, I'll hurt you. You don't want to mess with me, Paul. Paul fearing, the Bible says, trembling and astonished, because this great experience he had shook him up so much. He got up, couldn't see. Blind for 3 days, didn't eat for 3 days, trying to wonder what this experience was. It called him to spend time and to pray. Matter of fact, when Ananias met him, that's what he was doing. He was praying. He had his face toward the ground, trying to get a hold of God, trying to put this thing together. And knew this thing was bigger than he was. You see it? Now, this shows us that whoever has met authority deals purely with authority and not with man. This was greater than man. When he met Jesus on that Damascus road, it was a supernatural experience, and he knew that this was greater than any person, any Sanhedrin council, any high priest, any person you ever met in his whole life. This thing revolutionized, transformed his life, and brought, I'm using the word apostle has been using, brought reformation to his life. Transforming and reforming him. He got born again on that Damascus road. You see, when he met Jesus, he got born again. And transform his life. Let us not see man, but the authority invested in that man. Now, this might be the furthest I can go in this class, but let me end it with this statement, class, and we're going to take up from my notes right in the next class. I'm going to close it with this. We do not obey man. Listen now. We do not obey man, but God's authority in that man. See, that keeps you from getting confused. Keeps you from being a man pleaser. No, you got to look beyond the man and see the authority of God in that man. When you meet that man of God, you meet the anointing of God. You meet the presence of God. You meet God. So, we do not obey man, but God's authority in that man. Otherwise, how can we ever learn what authority is? Class, I just had a good time teaching you. And we're going to take up next week on the same subject. We're going to keep try to bring you up to speed a little bit. We'll be dealing with Apostle Paul and him functioning under this new authority he has. Class, you've been good class. You've been good listener. I hope you take good notes, because this class is going to put you in the place you need to be. All right, class. Go in peace. Yes, sir.